Can I tell you something I've never really said out loud before? There was a season of my life where I planned my whole evening around food. Not a meal, not a dinner, a whole checkout moment. Buttery popcorn, something sweet, maybe something crunchy to go with it. And I would literally think about it all day long. Like I was looking forward to it the way you look forward to a vacation. And I kept telling myself it was just relaxing. It was my treat. I earned it. But here's what I want you to know that I didn't know then. That wasn't a treat. That was a habit I didn't understand. And the desire that I felt for it, I thought it was unshakable. I thought it was just who I was. It wasn't. And today we're going to talk about how desire works, why you think you can't change it, and what it actually takes to stop reaching for food when your body doesn't need it. You're listening to the Arm Coach Podcast with me, Christine Rucker, Arm Coach and founder of the Arms by Christine program. Here, we talk about toned and sculpted arms and what it really takes to get sustainable results so you can feel proud and confident in sleeveless clothes. Hey everyone, welcome to the Arm Coach Podcast, episode 119. I'm Christine Rucker, your arm coach, and this podcast exists for one reason: to help you build toned, sculpted arms by becoming a woman who actually follows through. Not by white knuckling your way through another plan, not by hating your body into submission, but by shifting who you are at the identity level. Because here's the thing. Your arms will not change until you do. And today we're going somewhere a lot of fitness people are too afraid to go. We're going to talk about food, not macros, not meal plans. We're going to talk about why you eat when you're not hungry, why you reach for food at night, even when you know you don't need it. And most importantly, whether it's actually possible to stop wanting to do that. Spoiler, it is. But probably not the way that you think. Let me paint you a picture. It's 8 p.m. The kids are handled. The emails are ignored. You are officially off duty. And you think, I deserve this. So you head to the kitchen, not because you're hungry, not because your body's asking for fuel, but because your brain has been anticipating this moment since noon, right? The couch, the show, the food, and you're not even really tasting it. You're just checked out. Sound familiar? Yeah, I thought so. Here's what I know about you. You are not a woman who doesn't know better. You know that eating a full bag of popcorn at 9 p.m. isn't moving you toward the arms that you want. You know it. You've known it for years. And yet the desire is so loud, so real, so convincing. You tell yourself you'll stop after a few bites. You don't. You tell yourself tomorrow will be different. It isn't. You start to wonder if you just don't have the willpower, if maybe you're just someone who can't control herself around food. Can I stop you right there? Because that story, the one where the problem is your willpower, that story, it's not just wrong, it's keeping you stuck. Here's the thing that no one in the fitness world wants to say out loud. Willpower, it's not a character trait. It's not something you either have or you don't. It's a limited resource. And expecting yourself to white knuckle your way past a desire you don't understand, that's not discipline. That is exhaustion dressed up as a plan. Women do not overeat at night because they're weak. They overeat because they have a desire they were never taught to examine. And there is a massive difference between retraining yourself from something you still want and no longer wanting at all. Restraining yourself from something you want is willpower. No longer wanting it is freedom. And most of us have been trying to solve a desire problem with willpower, with a willpower solution. No wonder we keep up eating, ending up back at the popcorn. This is where the think, feel, act cycle becomes everything. your desire to overeat is not coming from hunger. It's not coming from the food itself. It's coming from your thoughts. What you are thinking creates how you feel. How you feel creates what you do. And what you do over and over again becomes who you are. The desire you feel for that late night checkout moment, it's being generated entirely in your mind, not in the stomach, not in the food, in the story you're telling yourself about what that food does for you. So here's what I want you to start doing, not as a way to punish the habit, but as a way to understand it. The next time you feel that pull toward food and your body, it's not actually hungry, I want you to pause for 30 seconds before you act, not to resist, but to get curious. Ask yourself, what am I feeling right now? Are you tired, lonely, overstimulated, bored, stressed? And then ask, what am I telling myself this food is going to do for me? Because that's the thought creating the desire. And until you can see the thought, you can't change it. So can I take you back somewhere with me for a second? There was a chapter in my life where I was doing everything right on paper. I was training, I was coaching, I was showing up, and every single night I was checking out with food. I wouldn't call it binging, but just numbing. A little of this, a little of that. I'd been looking forward to it all day. I honestly thought it was one of the best parts of my day. Buttery popcorn was basically my love language at that point. And here's what made it so tricky to see, because it wasn't super dramatic. It wasn't out of control in any obvious way. It looked like relaxing. It looked like a reward. It looked like self-care. So I never questioned the desire itself. I think I just tried to manage it, portion it, schedule it, maybe negotiate with it. And the desire just stayed loud and patient and right there waiting for me at 8 p.m. every night. And here's what I had wrong. I believed that the desire was coming from the food. It was coming from the taste, from the experience of eating it. And I told myself, I just really love popcorn. I really love that feeling of unwinding with something salty and delicious. And maybe you're sitting there nodding because that is exactly what you're telling yourself too. But here is what I eventually had to get honest about. If you could wave a magic wand and remove everything the food was doing for you emotionally, would you still want it the way that you want it right now? If popcorn was just popcorn with no checkout effect, no numbing, no sense of reward or relief, would you really be thinking about it all day? For me, honestly, no, I didn't love popcorn that much. I loved what I thought popcorn was doing for me. I wasn't hungry. I was overstimulated. I was underrested and completely unwilling to just sit with the end of a hard day without something to take the edge off. The food was not the problem. The thought that I needed food to feel okay was the problem. Your desire for food is created not by the food itself, but by the thoughts you are having about what that food will give you. I loved the idea of popcorn because I believed it would help me relax, help me reward myself, help me mark the end of a long day in a way that felt satisfying. But relaxation, reward, and satisfaction are feelings, and feelings come from thoughts, not from buttered popcorn. When I started actually examining the thoughts creating the desire, I was genuinely surprised by what I found. I was thinking things like, I've been on all day. I deserve a break. This is the only time that's mine. I need something that feels good. None of those thoughts required food to resolve them. They required me to understand that I was allowed to feel decompressed, satisfied, and rewarded without eating something to manufacture those feelings. Here's what this looked like in practice. I stopped trying to resist the popcorn through willpower. I started getting curious about the thought underneath the craving. When the desire would show up, I'd ask, what do I actually need right now? And sometimes I needed quiet. Sometimes I needed to feel seen or appreciated. And sometimes I just needed to give myself permission to stop being productive and just exist for a minute. And none of that required food. And here's the wild part. As I started meeting the actual need, instead of reaching for food to cover it up, the desire started to change. And not through restriction, it changed through understanding. And that is the only thing that actually works long term. And now here's the part that really surprised me, and I think it's going to surprise you too. I want to talk about what it actually feels like when the desire is gone. Because most women assume that losing the desire to stress eat or overeat at night means one of two things. Either they will be constantly fighting themselves forever, which sounds exhausting, or they will hate food, which that sounds miserable. And neither of those is what actually happens. And I watch this pattern all the time with the women that I work with. They start doing the mindset work. They start examining their thoughts. They stop overeating as much. And then something shifts in their brain. And suddenly they go from, I love snacking at night, it's my favorite thing, to, I hate food. Food is my enemy. I have no self-control. I'm disgusted with myself. And I have to stop them right there, because swinging from desire to hatred, that is not healing. That is just replacing one emotional relationship with another. And both of them are keeping food in charge of how you feel. So let me say something that might sound strange. You do not have to hate the thing that you no longer want. Hating food takes energy. Resenting your past choices, that takes energy. Carrying shame about what you ate last night, that takes energy. Here's the ugly irony. When you spend a lot of mental energy hating or regretting, you create negative emotion. And what do you do when you feel negative emotion? You look for relief from something outside of yourself, which for many women is food. The self-hatred actually feeds the cycle, doesn't break it. The goal is not to go from wanting food to hating food. The goal is to go from wanting food to feeling completely neutral about it. Food just is. It doesn't have power over you. You don't crave it when you aren't hungry. You don't resent it when you choose not to eat it. It's just food. Let me give you a different way to think about this. Think about someone you used to really care about, maybe even someone you were a little obsessed with at one point, someone who took up a lot of real estate in your brain. Now think about where that stands today. For a lot of women, there's an ex somewhere in their past that they once thought about constantly, wondered what he thought of them, planned around him, lost sleep over him. And now, if you ran into him at the grocery store tomorrow, you'd be fine. Not excited, not resentful, just fine. Pleasantly indifferent. You don't have to hate someone for them to no longer have power over you. That neutral place is where you want to land with food. Not obsession, not restriction, not shame, just complete. Peaceful indifference to the thing you used to let run your evenings. And I want you to know that place is real. I live there now, and it's not boring. It's actually kind of amazing. The path to neutrality, it's not willpower, and it's not restriction. It's not trying harder or caring more. It's using the think, feel, act cycle to understand and then redirect the thoughts that are creating the desire. When you feel the pull toward food and your body's not hungry, that pull is a feeling. The feeling was created by a thought. Find the thought. Examine it. Ask yourself if it's true. Is it true that you can't unwind without food? Is it true that you have to eat something to mark the end of the day? Is it true that you deserve a reward and food is the only thing that counts? None of those thoughts are facts. They're patterns. And patterns can be changed, not overnight, not perfectly, but consistently over time, one evening at a time. That is how a naturally toned woman is built, not by hating her cravings, by understanding them and choosing differently. I want you to stop for a second and not skip ahead, not think about what you're having, what you're making for dinner. Actually stop. I want you to ask yourself this. When you reach for food at night and your body's not actually hungry, what is the thought underneath that? Not what do you tell people? What do you actually tell yourself in the moment? Is it, I deserve this? Is it, I need to decompress? Is it, I've been so good all day? Is it, I just want something that feels good? Hold that thought. Now ask yourself, is food actually the thing that would meet that need? Or is it just the fastest, most available, most familiar thing you have been reaching for because you never learned another way? Here is what I know after working with women through this process. The desire does not disappear because you get stricter with yourself. It disappears because you finally understand it. And the moment you understand what you are actually looking for and you stop outsourcing that feeling to something you eat, your relationship with food changes. Your consistency with your body changes. Your arms change, not because you suffered your way through it. You finally stopped needing to. I want to close this out by talking about who you are becoming, because this really isn't about popcorn. This is about the version of you who doesn't need to check out at night, who doesn't spend her days anticipating a food reward, who doesn't white knuckle her way through evenings trying to resist something she can't stop thinking about. The naturally toned woman doesn't have perfect eating habits because she has iron willpower. She has freedom around food because she understands herself. She knows what she actually feels. She knows what she actually needs. And she has learned slowly through practice to meet those needs without using food to do it. And that version of you is not some distant fantasy. She is a collection of small decisions, small moments of curiosity instead of reaction, small pauses before the pantry, small questions asked instead of being answered by a snack. She is built the same way toned arms are built, not by going harder, but by going consistent. You don't have to lose the desire by hating the food or hating yourself. You lose it by understanding yourself so well that the desire simply has nowhere left to live. Change is slower than we want it to be. It doesn't happen in a week or a month or even in a perfect stretch of clean eating and consistent workouts. It happens in the accumulation of decisions made by a woman who finally decided to understand herself instead of punish herself. And that is you. You're building that right now, one episode at a time. Before I let you go, I want to ask you something. If this episode hit you, if something made you say, oh, that's me, don't just keep it to yourself. Women who are changing their lives, don't just listen quietly. They engage. They speak up. They follow through. So if this podcast has been helping you see yourself differently, I want you to take 2 minutes and leave a review. Not for me, but for the woman who feels exactly like you did before you found this. And as a thank you, I'm gifting a $100 gift card to one of you who leaves a review this month. All you have to do is leave the review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Take a screenshot and send it to me at Christine@ChristineRucker.com. This is your moment to stop being a silent listener and start being a woman who shows up. All right, everybody, I'll see you in the next episode. Hey, before you go, if this episode or any of the other episodes on this podcast have helped you in any way, please leave a 5-star rating and review. Your review will help us find and have maximum impact on as many women as possible. While you're there, hit the subscribe button so we can continue on this journey to Sculpted Arms together. Thank you so much for your support. I've loved having you here today, and talk soon in the next episode.